The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, most of us know at this stage what it's like to live in self-isolation, but what if you have a serious underlying health condition like cystic fibrosis? Well, Sasha Delaney, for her, this is her reality, and she's on the line. Sasha, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you have never let CF get in the way of many, many activities, and that was the attitude that your parents took to you growing up.
Yeah, I was very lucky with my parents. They never once let me be, I suppose, the sick girl. I was never told I couldn't do anything. I was very rarely allowed a sick day from school unless it was necessary. It was never used as an excuse in my house, I suppose, to wallow or to sit in a corner. So I was very lucky with that respect.
Now, you work as a special needs assistant, and your day, because of all the things you need to do because you have CF in terms of your physio and your exercise in the morning, your day exhausts me just reading about it. Tell me.
It exhausts me too, to be honest. So it's a very early start for me. I live in Kildare, but I work in Dublin City. So I'm normally up at about 5:40 in the morning in order to get physio, chest clearance physio done, nebulizers done, inhalers done. I also have cystic fibrosis related diabetes, so I have to make sure I have a good breakfast. I have to try and make sure that I have all my medications in my bag for the day. So it's up, nebulizers, physio, breakfast, try and put a bit of makeup on my face, and then I'm usually out the door for about 6:40, 6:45 to get into Dublin City Centre for about 20 past 8. And then I do a full work day, obviously in school, which I love. I'm very lucky. I love my job. And then I try to get back, get home here at about maybe 5:30. I try to get to the gym at least 3 or 4 days a week, because exercise with cystic fibrosis is absolutely crucial to keep my lungs in the best health I can keep them. And then back to the house. I'm normally back here at about 7:30 at night, bit of dinner, bit of housework, bed to start it all over again the next day.
Okay. Now, you are in self-isolation, and you kind of went early with the self-isolation.
I did. I was lucky, to be honest. I feel very lucky that my GP, I rang her on the Tuesday, which I think was maybe the 9th or 10th of March, and just asked. My concern was, when is my cutoff point? Is it when we hit 200 cases in Ireland, 300 cases? When should I be concerned? At that stage, we had, I think, 7 community acquired infections. And on the phone, she basically said, in so many words, what are you still doing in work? Get home, stay there now. She's one community infection is too many. Get out of there. So I was very lucky. My principal in school was very supportive and told me to get out the door straight away. So I've been in my house since that very day.
Exercise being so important to you, how are you managing?
A little bit of invention. I suppose I'm doing as much as I can in the house. Obviously, I can't do as much as I would in a gym. Cardio being the main thing I need, as well as strength and conditioning. So I'm trying to use my brain in the house. I do some workouts. I've used my back garden a few times. I'm sure my neighbours think I'm gone a bit doolally. But it's just, again, I get some fresh air then at least, rather than sitting in the house. So I'm trying to do as many kind of tailored workouts as I can in the house. I'm probably at some stage going to end up just running up and down my stairs for the day. But I'm trying to do what I can. It's obviously not the same as being able to go to the gym or being able to go for a 5K walk or any of that. But I think a lot of press-ups on my kitchen table and kitchen chairs is what's going on.
Now, because your lungs are compromised with CF, you obviously would be one of the people in the risk categories. I mean, does COVID-19 scare you?
Absolutely terrifies me, to be honest. And that's why I took the decision, and my GP took the decision to get me home as early as I went home. The very fact that this is a respiratory illness and it's causing such severe pneumonia is the terrifying part. I've been unfortunate enough to have pneumonia once or twice, and it's really a horrible infection. But to see the fact that the fatality rate among people with underlying conditions is quite severe. And the fact that so many people are needing to be ventilated and to be put in ICU is really quite terrifying. And the very thought that my lungs that are compromised anyway would not be able to make it through an infection like that, or be very, very lucky to make it through an infection like that. But it would take weeks and weeks and weeks and months of recovery if I got through it. And the reality is I probably wouldn't. It'd be very slim chances of me getting through it if I got to that point where I needed to be hospitalised with it.
So you're isolating with your boyfriend, and the question is, how do you manage for food? I mean, does he have to put himself out there to get groceries? And, you know, every time you go out, you potentially put yourself in harm's way, and, you know, you'd be worried that he might inadvertently be infected by it.
Well, you see, that is the risk. So we had a very frank conversation at the start of this, before it was even a pandemic. And we had come to the conclusion that if it was a case that he had to still go to work or we needed him to go in and out of the shops, he would just have to move out. The risk for me, with there's no absolutely 0 point past, to be honest, in me sitting in this house and staring at these four walls if there is somebody coming in and out all the time. So we're very lucky that we're in the position that he can stay here. So we've been managing basically our family and our friends have been very, very good to us. We're doing online shopping, obviously, but that's an absolute disaster in itself. I have shopping coming on Sunday that I ordered 2 weeks ago. So we really are relying on our neighbours and our friends and our family to supplement us in between those kind of deliveries.
So they do, if you like, food drops for you because they, you know, you can't be in contact with them when you're getting the food, and then you wait for a time and you make sure you sterilise everything that you're taking out, because who knows who's touched that can of beans along the way.
That's it, exactly. So literally it's a case of if we know someone's coming, we'll open our side gate and they'll come into our back door. They will literally drop everything at the back door. We might say hello through the window. We don't even barely even open the windows. And it takes a good, when the shopping was, it takes a good 40 minutes to get everything into the house, because like that, literally everything, we first of all, if it comes in a shopping bag, we have to wipe down the shopping bag, sterilise the handles, and then take each individual thing out one by one, out of packets, out of boxes, sterilise them, and then all the fruit and vegetables or anything that's loose have to go straight into the sink and they get absolutely scrubbed. So it's an ordeal in itself, really, taking any kind of groceries into the house.
But it actually shows, in a way, what all of us should be doing. You know that your life is under threat if you don't do these kind of things, but it's what everybody should actually be doing. I mean, my wife said to me, because she's a background in microbiology, she says you have to treat everything you're touching as if it's covered in dog poo. You know, and would you touch it with your fingers? No, you would not. You'd make sure to clean it before you went near it. And that's the kind of advice that you have to take on board.
But that's exactly it. We have to completely consider that everything is absolutely contaminated, and everything that we do in this house takes that approach, because the risk of me getting that virus, or even if my boyfriend was to get that virus and give it to me off anything, we know that the virus can live on surfaces. And to be honest, I really think this is going to have a very lasting effect. I think our whole way of life after this will definitely change. I know I certainly will have a very different perspective. Even watching the television now, there was an ad on last night where a girl stole some cereal out of a bowl with her hand. And my first instinct was, oh my God, she touched that bowl with her hand.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll sharpen us all up in that regard. By the way, Sasha, are you a candidate for Orkambi? I mean, have you been assessed for it, and if so, would it do you any good?
I am actually very lucky to be on the newer drug, the Simkevi, and yep. it has made quite a significant difference to me. Actually, I've gone up in lung function, my weight has shot up. I need to buy a whole new wardrobe. I don't fit into any of my clothes, which is a good thing, obviously, with CF to have weight. I had a massive problem with being underweight for most of my life. So I am currently waiting and hoping with bated breath for the Trikafta that's due to come out soon, the triple therapy, which has even better results. The studies and the trials that have been done with that have been phenomenal. I know people who've come off a lot of their nebulizers and medication and it, you know, their diabetes is rectified and they've been able to come off insulin. So I'm really, that's really now the one that we're looking towards, and I'm really excited for that. It seems to be really good, a good therapy.
Well, that's very exciting news when that triple therapy comes along. But just before it comes along, along comes COVID-19 to annoy you. And I hope that's all it does, annoy you and frustrate you, but that you stay well, Sasha, because your life has never been easy, but you're not one to kind of go down under it. You seem to be very positive about all the difficulties that life has thrown at you.
Well, I suppose that comes from the way I was brought up as well, but there's really no point in sitting and feeling sorry for myself, because I would never go outside my front door. Well, I can't go outside my front door at the moment, but there's no point in sitting there, because even with this, even with being at home, I mean, it's stressful at times. I missed my niece's first birthday yesterday. My nephew called around. My brother surprised me 2 weeks ago. My nephew's out the back garden, like literally standing there looking at me, giving me high fives on the window. It's not the most pleasant of situations, but you really have to train your brain into thinking that, you know, it's not the worst thing that can happen. You're doing it for a good reason. And I saw a great thing online the other day that says you're not stuck at home, you're safe at home. And that really resonated with me. And I have to completely just tell myself every day, I'm not stuck here. I'm safe here. I'm doing this so for my niece's second birthday, I can go be around and go to her party, because the alternative to that is me not being here at all. And when you equate staying at home in my comfy house, you know, with well fed, with food in my belly, with heating on if I need it, if you equate that to the alternative, which is, you know, getting very sick, ICU, and potentially dying, then I really don't have any position or any right to be upset about it or down in the dumps. It's just, it's ridiculous. I wouldn't sit here and do that, because the alternative is much, much worse.
All right. Well, Sasha, I am in total admiration of you. I think you're absolutely great. Every day we play a song suggested by a listener, an inspiring song. So this one is for you. It's Mick Christopher and Hey Day.
Hey day, baby, then we're not gonna be afraid.
And that's me, Christopher, and Heyday, our inspirational song today. If you've got an idea for an inspirational song, well, just text us on 53106 and we'll be happy to play it over the coming days for you.